SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson, Mike Prada with you. You can follow us now on Twitter at SB Nation Radio, as well as Facebook. The Facebook fan page is up. Hit like, even if you don't. We don't care. Joining us right now, our chance to talk some more Washington Capitals, Adam Vingan from SB Nation DC joins us today, and we start dissecting the Caps. How you doing, Adam?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. I'm a little disappointed with what happened with the Caps the other night in Tampa Bay. I'm sure you are too. And it's just kind of, to me, it just seems like a sign that, you know, a lot of other teams have caught up with the Capitals. I mean, knowing what we know now, are you a little, what's your thought, I guess, on like how the summer, the way they kind of approach the summer, you know, do you think teams have really caught up to them, you know, going forward?
I think that the recent struggles, the 8-game losing streak, and even though they're playing well, record-wise, 6-1-3 in their last 10 games, I think the series with Montreal last year, the first-round playoff series, is a microcosm of what's going on. They were able to score, but teams are starting to figure out how to play them. They're starting to figure out how to stop Alexander Ovechkin, Mike Green, and the rest of them. They are clogging up the neutral zone. They are not getting good chances on the power play. I think once in a while, once your team gets hot and you get a lot of attention, teams are going to put a lot of focus on you specifically. And I think the Capitals were public enemy number one besides the Penguins and the Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks. So I think a lot of teams are really starting to learn how to play the Caps, and it really showed in the 3-0 loss to Tampa Bay the other night. They got down early. They looked defeated, as Bruce Boudreau said eloquently in the first episode of HBO's 24/7. And from there, it was just history. No goal. Second time they were shut out by Dwayne Roloson in two games in one week. His home debut and his team debut with the Lightning. Roloson shut out the Caps both times.
Well, Adam, Mike and I were kicking this around in the open. Do you feel like the Capitals at this point, is there any buyer's remorse, so to speak, on the idea of changing the style? Do you think there's any of that going on right now?
Well, I think there is some sort of changing of the style. They're actually playing pretty good defense to make up for their lack of offense, especially in the Winter Classic game against the Pittsburgh Penguins in that 3-1 win. Once they got the third goal from Eric Fair on the breakaway, they completely shut down the Penguins. The Penguins had absolutely no chance to score. It was the most defensive killer instinct I've seen this team play with since Bruce Boudreau.
I agree 100%. What I'm saying to you is, do you think they're maybe regretting the fact that they've changed styles because, you know, certainly they're not having the same type of regular season they are? Do you think everybody's still 100% committed to, like, you know what, this is going to be the best thing long-term, so we're going to keep rolling this way?
Well, for now, I think it's okay because because it's January, it's okay to tinker around with things now, but I don't think that the Capitals can win solely on defense. The adage defense wins championships is thrown around a lot in any sport, but this team is known for being an offensive juggernaut. They don't win by shutting teams down. They win by scoring at will, and they're not going to win games 2-0 or 2-1. They're going to win games 6-2 or 5-3. The other team's going to score 3 goals. Okay, so we're going to score 6. So they're going to need to find that offensive firepower to go along with the new defensive stance that they have. And if they do that, they'll be unstoppable. But they haven't been able to do both at the same time.
Well, so then my question is, how do they get the offense in gear? Like, what do they have to do to get Ovechkin going? Because he's obviously having his problems this year.
A lot of teams have been figuring him out. He does the same kind of moves, you know, starts from the left side, cuts to the middle, tries to shoot through the defenders at the screen, tries to beat the goalie. It's worked for 5 years, but now it's starting to get a little old, and I might take a lot of heat for this in the D.C. metro area, but maybe he should take a page out of Sidney Crosby's book and plant himself in front of the crease, get rebounds, be more versatile with his backhand, and to work on his offensive repertoire, knock pucks in, do something like Mike Knuble would do or Brooks Like would do, just sit in front of the crease. And they tried it on the power play because he's usually on the point, but with the problems with the power play, Bruce Boudreau put him in the crease, try to do deflections and screens. Didn't really work well, but maybe they just need to keep trying, throw him in different situations. I mean, they put him on the right side. He's a natural left wing, but they put him on the right side. It's worked. They just need to find something. They've tried so many things, but it hasn't worked. He's got 15 goals in the season. He's on pace for the lowest amount of goals in his career and also the lowest amount of points in his career. And this guy is the face of the franchise. He's the captain. He's known for being a scorer, not for being a tag-along. So something has to happen. I can't tell you what. I really don't know. I don't think even the team knows at this point.
We're here with Adam Vingan from the SB Nation DC, also from Kings of Leonsis blog with us here on SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson and Mike Prater with you. Well, looking at the other part of it, too, the cortisone shot story came out a few weeks ago about Alex Ovechkin. Is there any concern that this could also be something physically going on with him that people aren't aware of right now?
It could be. It definitely could be. But you know how vague hockey is because they don't have to directly tell you what the injury is. You know, Alexander Semin got injured in the game against Florida last week, and in the press conference when someone asked about his status, Boudreaux was like, I don't know what it is. Just put it as a lower body injury for right now.
Right.
They have no idea. We have no idea. Perhaps it could be an injury, but none of us really know, and I can't really speculate. But if it was an injury, that could explain something, but he's played through injuries before. He's a big guy. He's a tough guy. He should be able to battle through it even if he is injured.
I guess a larger picture question, which is another thing we were kicking around kind of in the show open, which is, I mean, Chad Dukes wrote this week. I mean, the Capitals are the only good team in town, and so they carry a lot of pressure from the regional fans to win. And I just wonder, when you combine that with the whole, I guess, mantra of it really doesn't matter what happens from, you know, I guess, October to March, it's what happens in April. Psychologically, I mean, Ted Leonsis said this week that they're unconsciously pacing themselves. Psychologically, I mean, does that kind of make any sense to you? I mean, the whole, when you throw all these factors in, how much does that explain maybe some of the play that we've seen?
Well, you're right. It's Washington, D.C. is desperate for a championship, and with the struggles of the Redskins, Wizards, and Nationals, the Capitals, despite their postseason lack of success, are probably the closest thing to a championship this city has for the next few years, at least. I love Ted Leonsis. He's such an upbeat guy, but the idea of unconsciously pacing themselves doesn't really make much sense to me. So you're telling me that Ovechkin isn't scoring goals the lowest amount of his career, so he's pacing himself so that by the time he gets to April, he'll suddenly turn it on and start scoring at will. I mean, it hasn't worked for Alexander Semin. He hasn't scored in a month and a half, and he's still the leading scorer on the team. There definitely is a lot of pressure. We definitely saw it during HBO's 24/7 when the Sports Junkies on 106.7 were featured, and George McPhee, the general manager, said if they knew anything about hockey, they'd be in it. So there definitely is some outward pressure. I think with any sports franchise with so much on the line, there definitely is a lot of pressure, but they're going to have to play through it. They had the greatest season in their franchise last year. They're doing okay for the most part, even with their losing skid. I think it's pretty responsive to how good of this team is that they can go on an 8-game losing streak, earn 2 points in 8 games, and still be in the thick of things in both their division and in the conference. So they definitely have a lot of things going for them. They have some things to work on, but at the rate they're going, hopefully they'll figure it out by April, or if they don't, they'll be on the fast track to another early exit from the playoffs.
Well, you know, we were talking about this in the open, Adam. Mike and I were. Yes, there is more pressure in D.C. terms than there's ever been on the Capitals these days. But that still probably doesn't even make it into the top 14 franchise cities, you know, in the National Hockey League as far as pressure is concerned.
But I think it's a different kind of pressure. You know, there's a pressure in Boston or Philadelphia. I mean,
Detroit, Toronto, Montreal. I mean, those cities, that's all they wake up thinking about.
Right, it's
much more
tribal nature. So, like, I mean, these guys are going to be there through thick and thin. But if there's a legit risk, I think, with the Capitals that a lot of these fans are going to jump off if they don't play well.
Where are they going to go?
I mean, I think that's a different kind.
Are you the Wizards? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I feel like
it's a different kind of.
Nationals,
but I mean, you can't deny that there's a big bandwagon nature to this fan base,
come on.
And that's
of course
fine.
There is. Yes, there is.
There's bandwagon fans everywhere, but there's still an entertaining.
I think it's a different kind of pressure, though. I mean, that's what I think, at least.
I mean, first of all, there's a language situation for a lot of the guys in this team. Number one, that I don't even know if they even suck in half the media we think they do, and then there's other guys in this team that have been in those cities we speak of. You know, that are bigger, you know, bigger time pressure cities as far as hockey's concerned. I don't even know they're even aware of it. I think that's sometimes just a nice excuse when a team's not doing things well to say, oh, it's got to be the pressure. I think half these guys live in a cocoon. You know what I mean? I really think they do. I think a lot of them have tunnel vision. They show up to the rink, they go home, they hear what they need to hear, and that's it.
Well, I think you're exactly right on that. Compared to all of the illustrious franchises and cities you named off, those fans, especially Canadian fans, they definitely wake up every morning hoping that one day soon their team will hoist the cup. As much as the Capitals have been playing well for 3 years, it's not a hockey town yet. Even with all the Redskins struggles and Donovan McNabb being run out on the rail and Steven Strasburg being injured for another year, this is not a hockey town. The Capitals do take a back seat to the Redskins, at least the Redskins. I mean, it's kind of weird that they take a back seat to the Nationals and Wizards, but it is also a basketball town too, and it's starting to become, you know, a baseball town with the new players coming in, hopefully. But hockey is not a priority yet in this city, and I really think that it's going to take a Stanley Cup championship for the city to finally become, quote, a hockey town. So you're right, there is kind of tunnel vision because the media is not all on them. For example, you mentioned Montreal. That's pretty, the Canadiens are like the only game in town. Yeah. So all the papers, all of the blogs, they're all focused on the Canadiens. Everywhere they go, anytime they turn on the news, it's about them. But in Washington, sports-wise, they've got a lot of other people and a lot of other teams and players to compete with. That the Capitals beginning of the season was overshadowed by Albert Haynesworth not being able to play. And Donovan McNabb not playing well for the Redskins at the end of the season. So until the Capitals can finally prove that they can go all the way with all of their offensive firepower, learning how to play defense, getting the power play in sync, etc., this will not become a hockey town. And I think that it will affect the players every year they don't make the play, and every year that they don't get closer to the cup. It's going to affect them, and it could be a bad thing. I mean, they brought in players like Mike Knuble, who has been there before, had his name on the cup. He's played for a lot of great teams. He's played with a lot of great Hall of Famers, and, you know, he's a leading example. He wanted to get the team going in Boston. After, you saw also on 24/7, I've never seen Mike Knuble talk like that in my life. I don't think anyone's ever seen him talk about that behind closed doors. But they need some presence, maybe get another veteran during the trade deadline, but something's got to happen for them. And unfortunately, I think the one thing that has to happen is they have to win the cup if there are any place to take over the reins of DC Sports.
All right. Hey, Adam, great stuff. Adam Bingham with us here on SB Nation Radio. He's on SB Nation DC. Check out his stuff. Also, Kings of Leonce's blog. Thanks for giving us some time today. Take care.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
All right, there is Adam Bingham with us here on SB Nation Radio. And I want to thank all of our guests, Chris Miller, John Keim, obviously Adam as well. And again, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah, follow us.
Follow us,
like us. We demand
exactly.
It.
Exactly, we need it. We'll talk to you next week. Scott Jackson from Mike Prada. Thanks to Othello for all the behind-the-scenes work here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan.